This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Bob Edwards. Congress is scheduled to hold hearings this week on the status of airport security in the United States. Lawmakers hope to address some of the questions raised by the recent attacks on the World Trade Center and the Pentagon. There have been repeated attempts to strengthen security at airports over the past 10 years, but those changes met with resistance. NPR's John McChesney reports.
One man who's watched in dismay as efforts to tighten the airport security system have faltered is Steve Elson. Elson was with the so-called Red Unit at the FAA for 3 years. He left in 1999. The Red Unit operated in secret and tested airport security throughout the country. He says regular FAA testing of airport security was badly flawed.
What we found is that the databases were so far off track and so wrong, it was just amazing. For instance, standard FAA testing will generally show that the detection rates are up in the 90% range.
In other words, when the FAA sent its regular detection teams through security systems, things appeared to be working pretty well. But that's not what the Red Team found.
We went out and found that the converse was about the case. It was, closer to 80 to 90% failure rate.
So what explained the vast discrepancy between the security checks conducted by standard FAA testers and the Red Team? Elson says, for one thing, the regular teams used test objects that were completely obvious.
You take a dynamite bomb. You have just three sticks of wood, a couple wires, big battery, big clock. And with the FAA, generally, you put it in something like a little briefcase, an empty one, and it goes through the X-ray machine, and there it pops up. Is that big, obvious object. It's the only thing in the bag. You might well know the person putting it through anyway.
Elson says the FAA was short on inspectors, and the same person often went through the same checkpoint repeatedly, so they were known to the security staff. The Red Team's reports, Elson says, usually disappeared into a file. Perhaps the most remarkable thing about airport security in this country is how often the Congress has been told that it's full of holes and how often little has been done about it, even after new laws have been passed. There have been two presidential commissions on the subject, one following the Pan Am bombing in 1988, but its key recommendation to require criminal background checks of airport workers was watered down. It also recommended that a special unit be created to coordinate intelligence efforts and to assess new threats. Nothing happened. Congressman James Oberstar of Minnesota, a member of the House Aviation Subcommittee, was on that commission.
Had we established a counterterrorism central effort that would look ahead, there's a strong likelihood this particular incident could have been forestalled.
Following the crash of TWA Flight 800 in 1996, another presidential commission, the Gore Commission, was appointed, and another law was passed to tighten airport security, but it's still not been fully implemented. The FAA has been working on a new set of rules for 4 years, rules that the airlines and others fought all along the line. Larry Johnson was with the State Department's counterterrorism unit during the 90s.
The airline industry has been very resistant to those changes. They want security, but they don't want to pay for it.
In April of this year, Steve Elson and a reporter from the Boston Fox Channel, in a chilling forecast of what happened on September 11th, tested the security system at Logan Airport for an investigative report that was broadcast in May.
So at Logan, we found there were 11 failures out of 12. While we were in there, we got bag tags in which we could use to put on bags and stick on planes with bombs. We got combinations to doors literally in a minute or two. And with that, we now had access to every single door in that particular terminal.
Logan has come in for its share of criticism in this affair. The head of Logan's security is former Governor Bill Weld's personal driver, who had no previous aviation experience. 3 days before the hijacking, an unidentified man who claimed to be an airline pilot gained access to Logan's control tower. A pass that permitted access to restricted areas at Logan was found in one of the hijackers' cars. And five of the hijackers, who later crashed United Airlines Flight 175 into the South Tower of the World Trade Center, purchased very expensive one-way tickets, $14,000 for five tickets. The tickets were purchased at the last minute. It's still not clear exactly how the tickets were paid for, but according to Congressman Oberstar, the airline should have raised questions.
It should have raised a concern through passenger profiling, which airlines are supposed to be doing.
But perhaps not in this case. NPR tried to get the FAA's security division to comment for this report, but they didn't return phone calls. On Thursday, the Senate will hold hearings on how to reinforce airport security in the United States. John McChesney, NPR News, Washington.